All right. Well, kind of a shocking story when you read that. And, you know, it just kind of strikes us. And I think, in a way, because if you're like me anyway, you can relate to it. You know, if I want to go to sleep, start praying or pull out my Bible, it seems like. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Much of Peter's education as a disciple was derived by being near the Lord Jesus Christ and learning from his words and his actions. This is a prime example for believers today. If we want to learn and grow, we too need to spend much time in the presence of the Lord. That I may know him was Paul's greatest aspiration in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. In this lesson, we will study Peter, James, and John in their evening with Jesus in the garden. We will see the vital importance of prayer, and we'll also see that prayer is a matter of obedience to the Lord and of overcoming our flesh. Therefore, we must actively choose to pray. Now, if you go back on your worksheet, we'll read the other two accounts in the Gospels of that, beginning with Mark 14, verses 32 through 42. You can follow along if you like, or just listen. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, "Sit ye here, while I shall pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou, what thou wilt." And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, "Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, "Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand." Then the third account there is from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down on the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Wow. So again, we just see, the flesh is weak, and and we'll talk about they probably had good intentions, much like we do. And I just can't help when I read that. You know, Kathy and I had the wonderful opportunity to visit and stand on the mountain and walk through the Garden of Gethsemane. And when you see the situation and overlooking Jerusalem, it really hits home. You know, you can almost picture Jesus off to the side under by the olives to pray, and it's just so exciting. That this is real stuff, people, I guess is the point of that. You know, but the places really existed, the events really happened, just as God's words tells it is, and we just need to really take that in to our hearts this morning. Well, first of all, we have we see that Jesus sorrowed. He sorrowed. It's important, I think, for us believers to realize that Christ was fully man as well as fully God. As such, he was tempted like we are and sorrowed as we do. You know, you often wonder, well, you know, he's Jesus. What, you know, he knew all this, and yeah, he did, but yet he had that flesh. You know, he took that upon himself on purpose, and he knew he was going to suffer and what was going to happen to his flesh. And so he sorrowed. And it's important to realize that that's how come he can relate to us so well and how we in turn can relate to him. As we begin to look at this passage, we note that both Matthew and Mark mention that the Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly sorrowful. Well, also Hebrews 4, 14 through 15 on your worksheet tells us, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And then Isaiah 53:3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So just talking exactly about the treatment that Jesus was going to get way back in Isaiah's day. The Lord's response to sorrow was to take his burden to his heavenly Father. Even in his darkest hour, he served as an example to us, turning to the heavenly Father with his burden. The songwriter Charles Tinley gave the reminder to, quote, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And at the end of the lesson, I have a treat for you. We're going to have someone singing that song. The words are so good. So just a warning. I'm going to ask you to stay seated and just listen to the first two verses of this song, because it really is a wonderful song. Charles Tinley was one of the original black gospel Baptist preachers back in the day. So anyway, really good stuff. But there's a wall plaque that is often seen in gift shops, and it asks this question: why pray when you can worry? You know that it's intended to be amusing, but it's often a life pattern for many Christians. And as I thought about that, is this saying indicative of our own spirit and our own attitude sometimes? You know, we'd rather worry than pray. Well, we need to pray more, you know, and especially when we worry. And unfortunately, it's not going to stop us from worrying. But if we can just bathe it, I think, in prayer, you know, just, okay, I'm worried, Lord, and start praying right then. And just seek his face and his presence when we get in that kind of mode as we start worrying. And just that should be not to quit praying. It should pray even more. So we read about Jesus wanting his disciples, which means thus us, for letter A, to watch. The request to watch. Tarry ye here and watch, Jesus told Peter, James, and John. He needed to go off by himself, and his simple request for them was to stay awake and be alert. Remember, he knew what was coming. He knew that Judas and the soldiers were about to show up. The Greek word here translated watch is the same that is translated vigilant in 1 Peter 5:8. As God, Jesus knew Judas would arrive soon, leading the soldiers who would arrest him. He knew all that would follow as he headed toward his crucifixion. As a man, he took time to prepare spiritually and emotionally for what was to come. A time of fervent prayer would give him the strength he needed to go all the way to the cross. He was just building, preparing himself for what was coming. As he entered this quiet moment in Gethsemane, Jesus asked his disciples to enter into his ministry of prayer. Jesus still has a ministry of prayer, and we can have a part in what God is doing in the hearts and lives of people today through our prayer. So on your worksheet, look there at Hebrews 7:24 and 5. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Intercession is a type of prayer, and that's what Jesus is doing. He's still praying for us and making intercession for us. In 1 Peter 4:7, we are commanded to be watchmen in prayer. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And we'll look at that again in a minute. We know first century Christians lived in wicked and stressful times. And just as we know it, we are increasingly living in wicked times. Wicked and stressful. You know, it's just, it's picking up. Well, it's just as needful today that we watch unto prayer, as Jesus instructed. One of the major responsibilities of a watchman is to keep an eye out for the danger and give warning when needed. We see this taught in Ezekiel 33:7. God gives the prophet this commission, quote, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me," unquote. Believers today, we need to watch out for our own sakes. Be sober, be vigilant, 1 Peter 5:8 tells us. For the Satan roams looking for who he may devour. And for others who need to be warned away from the actions that might have disastrous results. You know, we often see people heading the wrong way, right? Steering off into the ditch. And we need to watch that and warn them and pray for them especially. You know, there's a great analogy here on Britain owed her survival against Nazi Germany's aerial onslaught during the crucial months of 1940 in large part to the early warning system provided by radar. This enabled the outnumbered British fighter squadrons to see the enemy coming, figure out where they were headed, and get into the air, reach the critical points quickly and effectively, and usually to intercept the German bombers before they could reach their targets. Much damage was done on the ground in England, and many people lost their lives, but it would have been far, far worse had it not been for the watchfulness of those manning the radar stations. Well, then we see in Jesus' letter B, the request to pray. He asked them to pray. Ask us to pray. Again, Luke 22:40 said, "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation." The Lord is about to teach Peter, James, and John that it was not enough just to watch, but that it was also necessary to pray. And it's one thing to see this and watch what's going on, but to pray about it. We just had that discussion with, you know, the Equality Act that's in there. And in Washington, unfortunately, not much we can do because our senators sponsored the bill. But one thing we can do is pray, and pray for the states that have maybe senators on the fence and can do stuff. And that free political edition right there this morning. So, anyway, when we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Maybe you heard that before, but that's worth repeating. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. What a glorious thing. Prayer should accompany everything we do. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 teaches us that we are to be in a continual attitude of prayer. They're on your worksheet, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. It's a tall order, and we'll look a little closer at that here in a minute. In everything, we need the Lord. Prayer should be our first resort, not our last resort. And the Lord speaks much of the power of prayer in his word. There's 6 verses in a row there on your worksheet. We'll go through them real quickly. Luke 18:1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint." Luke 21:36. "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God." I like that one. And then Romans 12:12. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Ephesians 6:18. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Finally, 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Wow. Well, I think we get the idea this morning what we are being called to do. What God's will, if you just pick up those two things, to watch in prayer, you're in His will this morning. And we need to be more alert for that. The story of a Confederate General, Stonewall Jackson, was above all a devout Christian. You know, pretty soon nobody's going to be able to hear of that. Another sad thing going on, but that's another beside the point. But during his pre-war days as a professor at the Virginia Military Academy, a friend once asked him how it was possible to pray without ceasing. Jackson replied shyly that he had cultivated it as a habit, thanking God for the water of life whenever he took a glass of water, praying for the recipient whenever he sent a letter, asking God to prepare him for the letter's contents before he even opened it, praying for his students as they assembled for class, and, quote, so of every other familiar act of the day, unquote. But, said his friend, do you not often forget these seasons coming so frequently? Nothing, stuff comes up all the time. Don't you forget about doing that? Jackson replied, no. I have made the practice habitual to me, and I can no more forget it than forget to drink when I am thirsty. Wow. So it's a habit we can cultivate and just and to work on, to just remember to pray for that stuff. Thank you, Jesus, for just, you know, whenever, whatever we're about to do, you know. I thank God I don't cut my throat when I shave, you know. It's just one of those things, you know. It's good to be in prayer over. And one of the greatest encouragements that we could ever give to other people is to let them know that we're praying for them. And I'm sure you've noticed that, like, even people that don't believe seem to appreciate when we tell them we're praying for them. You know, I'd say not, maybe 1 out of 100 say, yeah, well, thanks for your thoughts or something, you know. But most people, even if they might not believe in God, they appreciate us at least thinking about them. And that's really a nice way to let them know we're thinking about them. But from our perspective, it's a prayer for them. And just maybe, you know, we keep that door ajar a little bit in their lives. The Lord Jesus was going through his darkest hours of his life. This time, commonly called the Passion Week, was going to culminate in Christ willingly giving himself as a sacrifice, bearing the sins of the whole world and being forsaken by his Father. His great desire was prayer support. I thought, too, you know, we support missions, but one thing they all want is our prayer support, to know we're thinking about them. That's what they appreciate when they get our letters and emails, that we're thinking of them in prayer and just how important that is. And again, our friends appreciate it. Our families usually appreciate it. Again, even if they're not saved, to know that we pray for them. And we need to let them know that. But we see on number 2 that the disciples slept. The disciples slept. As often the case, the flesh overcame the spirit. Our flesh is weak, but by its very nature, our flesh is unspiritual. Our flesh does not like our long prayer meetings, much less all night prayer meetings. Oftentimes, when we ought to be praying or reading God's word, our flesh convinces us of our fatigue. Oh, I'm tired. Yeah, that's one of the first thoughts after a few minutes of prayer. And an opportunity to serve God and others is either delayed or lost entirely. We do see, on letter A, the willingness of the Spirit. The Spirit is indeed willing. There's no doubt that the disciples found this to be a reasonable request. They undoubtedly planned to do exactly what Jesus asked them to do. They went with Jesus to the place of prayer. From there, the scripture states that Jesus went a little further, or went forward a little. Luke points out that he did not go far, merely a stone's throw away. So far, everything was going well. They listened to the Lord, they followed the Lord, and they were close to the Lord. We too ought to listen to the Lord follow the Lord and stay close to the Lord? How strong is your willingness to walk with the Lord, to obey him in all things, to live a life that is pleasing to him? As we see in 1 Chronicles 28:9, God highly esteems a willing spirit. It's there on your worksheet, 1 Chronicles 28:9. It says, "And now, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Well, in Mark chapter 12 and Luke chapter 21, we read about a remarkable woman who received special commendation from the Savior. She was a poor widow who didn't have much, but what she had, she was willing to give. And Jesus noticed that. The story of in the Mark passage is there in your worksheet, chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto them, called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." Wow. "For all they did cast in was of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." In other words, she gave everything she had, you know, not just the extra. And Jesus notices that. He knows the heart. Are we willing to do whatever we can with whatever we have, whenever it's needed, wherever we are? Well, we see letter B, the weakness of the flesh. I think there's a misprint on your worksheet that says of the spirit. But so cross that out, and it should be, it's obviously the weakness of the flesh. The spirit was willing, and that was good. But now we see the weakness of the flesh. Despite their good intentions to do what Jesus had requested, watch and pray, Peter, James, and John gave in to their weariness, and they fell asleep. As long as we are in the world, we will have a constant conflict between spirit and the flesh. Wish that wasn't so, but we see it every day. The Apostle Paul understood what we are dealing with because he had the same struggle. He stated in Romans 7:15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I." And then in verse 19, "For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." In other words, he says, I want to do what's right, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do. He wanted to please the Lord, but he often failed. His flesh overcame his spirit, just as the 3 sleepy disciples in the garden. And then the whole passage there in Romans is there, but rather than go through that would nots, all nots again, skip down to verse 22 for the closing. It says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me unto the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And kind of strangely comforting but challenging that Paul dealt with the very thing we dealt with. You know, as faithful and as strong as he was in the Lord, that he still found himself not doing the stuff he should or doing the things he shouldn't, and totally relates to that. Also on your worksheet, Galatians 5:17. "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." In other words, just don't do what we should do. And then Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It's impressive. It's imperative for us as believers to understand that our flesh will always lead us away from God and away from God's will, and will always let us down spiritually. If we give in and follow after our fleshly wants, we're going to have a little spiritual crash. And that's just what happens. So Jeremiah went so far to say in Jeremiah 17:5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Wow, we just don't want to get that far away from him. The author of the song, Stand Up for Jesus, that we sang this morning, George Dufield, understood this. And he said, "The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own." And that next verse talks about in prayer. Wonderful song. I'm just one of the reasons I wanted to sing it this morning. We dare not trust our own. The fun part. You've all heard of the game of golf. And if you've been around, you know I really like to golf, right? Well, be careful out there. Yeah. Golf seems like a pretty easy sport. The ball doesn't move. It sits right there. And you know, we just take this stationary stick and sometimes we whiff. You know, sometimes we shank it. You know, very often, not very often, even the pros don't always hit a perfect golf shot. And that's kind of the way our lesson is for us this morning on prayer. You know, you're trying to hit it to a specific spot. Try to get it in that little hole that's up ahead of you. You know, that's the goal. But it's hard to do in practice sometimes. And it's somehow we have difficulty doing what we should do and what we know to do. But it's hard to get there. Our bodies seem to conspire with the terrain and the laws of physics to produce results that are often quite different from our intentions. Can't tell you how many times that's happened. Just golf with Pastor Josh sometime. Actually, life is much the same. We know right from wrong. We know what we should do, and we know what we should not do. We think that we should be able to do right and avoid wrong, but like the Apostle Paul, what we find ourselves doing is often the very thing we know we should not be doing. Thank the Lord that one day we will be delivered from this. Amen. Amen. So thus we see, on number three, the disciples were silenced. They were silenced by falling asleep. Having requested his three trusted disciples to watch with him, Jesus came back to check on them twice. Both times he found them asleep. Both Matthew and Mark state that Jesus singled out Peter for his reproach. "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" For once, Peter had nothing to say. That was interesting. He knew right away, you know, no defense, no excuses, no correction. He just kept his mouth shut and probably hung his head, I imagine. We read, letter A, that the heaviness was strong. The heaviness was strong. Not in Jesus' spirit, but in their eyes, and just the heaviness of that was there. Their eyes were heavy, both Matthew and Mark tells us. With the disciples oblivious to his presence, Jesus finally just let them sleep. What did they miss by not watching with Jesus for that 1 hour? Certainly, they missed seeing a marvelous session of prayer. The Son pouring out his very heart to his Father. They missed overhearing his example of total surrender. "Not my will, but thine be done," he said to his Father. They missed an opportunity to later discuss amongst themselves the thing that the Lord had been teaching them. They missed an opportunity to revel in the privilege they had to be as close to the Lord during this monumental time. Remember, they weren't going to see him again. I'm sure they felt like they really missed out on a special time. One unavoidable aspect of missed opportunities is that we may not even realize what opportunities have been missed. We don't know what we don't know. Always kind of like that. We just, you know, who knows what we may have missed. You know, sometimes we skip an event or church trip and we found out something wonderful went on. And, well, we feel like, boy, we really missed out. But how many things do we never hear about that we missed out on? You know, because we just don't know. And that was the case here. Christ has great blessings available to us through the privilege of prayer. We must be on guard that we do not allow our weariness to keep us from what we need so desperately, the very thing that will give us strength, communion to God, with God and through prayer. When Satan tempts us to be silent, we must remember that God wants us to commune with him. David was a man after God's own heart, and one of his favorite pursuits was prayer. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Psalm 55. Do you often find your heaviness strong when it comes to fellowshipping with and serving God? We can come to the Lord and get all the strength we need if we come to him in prayer. You see on your worksheet, Isaiah 40, verses 20 through 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I love that. You know, I can outdo those young whippersnappers just by the strength of God. I used to be one of those young whippersnappers. And a lot of older guys would go flying by me because they had God on their side. Well, letter B, the hour was come. The hour was come. And Jesus said, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. The time had come for Jesus to allow himself to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. For the disciples, everything that they had known was about to be destroyed. Although the prophets had foretold the events that were about to unfold, and Jesus was prepared to go all the way to the end, Peter, James, and John must have looked back and wished that they had watched and prayed when Jesus asked them to. You know, one of the final acts was to not do what he asked. That had to be on their mind as the situation unfolded. It's kind of like, we should have been there. How many times have we thought that? Oh, I should have been there for him. Oh, I wish I'd been there for him. You know, I'm sure they had those very same feelings. One statistic every baseball team wants to minimize is the left on base. If you're familiar with that, your side gets out and you're left on, you know, when I used to listen to a little baseball or whatever, you always get frustrated if your team had men left on base and they couldn't get them across to score. Well, this stands, they were left stranded because the batters were unable to take advantage of the opportunity to drive them in home before the inning was over and time was up. Left on base is often the difference between winning and losing. So I looked it up. There's the record for a 9-inning shutout. In other words, you get shut out by a team. The record is tied. There's been twice that they had left 16 men left on base. 16 opportunities that they could have not been shut out and possibly won the game. And it's disheartening, you know, for the team and for those listening. Well, Luke finishes his account with Jesus saying, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. What was true for the disciples is equally true for us today. With temptation rampant in the world today, one of our greatest needs is to rise and pray. Look at John 9:4 in your worksheet. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. In other words, we got to pray while we can. Now, once we're gone, we're not able to do that. And there's a lot of people we need to be praying for, including ourselves and our situations and our circumstances. Then also 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. And be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I don't know about you people, but I'm feeling that more and more. The end is at hand, you know, and we need to be about his business. And no better way to do that than be in prayer. Prayer for our country and our leaders, and especially our lost family and our loved ones. To just make it a real matter of prayer. Set a time aside to pray and be consistent at it and develop that habit of praying. So in conclusion, with the praying hands here, Christ has called us into the ministry of prayer with him. While it won't always be easy to fulfill his command, and we may find ourselves battling fatigue, distractions, and Satan himself, we must realize that we can still choose to follow and obey. Trust and obey. Follow him in prayer. With Christ's help, we can accomplish this task that is commanded of every believer, to draw close to God and to pray without ceasing. And we can experience the richness and renewal of the time spent with him. Can't say I've ever came out of off my knees or in praying or whenever that I felt bad about it. You know, it's always rewarding. And just something that we get out of it, and just that communion with God that strengthens us and okay, ready to face the day. And that we need prayer to continue to do that and to make that a priority, one of our big rocks in our life. Kind of made me excited. In my big rock, I don't know if I shared this specific, but it was to pray with Kathy every morning. We had done that, kind of got away, so I was the big... And I think I've done pretty good there, haven't I? Yeah, she's nodding. I'm a good wife. But it's just so important to spend that time in prayer and let them know that you're praying for them. So important. So, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your lessons to your disciples and therefore to us on prayer. Lord, just like the disciples later or before had asked, teach us to pray, Lord. Maybe we think we know all there is about praying and doing that, but we can always learn to be better at it, to make it more of a habit, to pray without ceasing, make it habitual in our lives to help us to pray and teach us to pray correctly and to hold you and give you the glory and our trust and obedience, Lord. That can all only be done as we open our lives to you and let you take control and help us. So we thank you for that, Lord. We ask for strength to do that. We pray for the service to come as we even pray for our pastor and the message he brings and for the people to receive it unto fertile soil where it will bear much fruit. As we look to bear fruit in this dying and decaying world, that we would give fresh fruit and wonderful fruit to the ears and the minds of the people that will hear from us. Strengthen us, I pray, O Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, next week, we have a lesson on self-reliance. And looking forward to that. I'm going to be gone, but Brother Vince will be back to teach on self-reliance next week. So I have that to look forward to.